We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. My name is David Carollo, and I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. So let's begin today's show with a prayer. Of course, it is a noon hour, and we are in the glorious Easter season. Let us begin with the Regina Caeli. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia. For the Lord has truly risen. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who gave great joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Beautiful prayer. We, of course, normally would say the Angelus at noon hour, but in this Easter season, this very special time, We pray the Regina Caeli, and it is very appropriate because we are that Easter people, and it's beautiful. It's great to be hosting the show again here today, and again, as I said, in this Easter season, it is a very special time because that's who we are. We are the Easter people. For those of you who do not know me, I serve as the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA, Our Lady's Blue Army. You know, the Mad Fatima message is one that most everybody knows some about. And of course, our job is to promote it worldwide. In 1916, the Angel of Peace appeared to the three seers of Fatima three times. And of course, Our Lady appeared six times to them in 1917. And she brought a message of warning and a message of hope. We've all heard all or part of that great message. But our apostolate, the work of our apostolate, is to bring this forth to people and its relevance today in this 20th and now 21st century. And, of course, we see the events of the world, and we see that many of the things she said, we see them unfolding in front of us. And I think that's really the key to it. Fatima today is more relevant, as Pope John Paul II said back in the 90s, it's more relevant today than it was in 1917. And I think even more relevant today than it was when he said those words 20-some years ago. We have many initiatives we put forth during this period. We came off the Great Centennial in 2017 with a tremendous outreach. And it's funny how history does repeat itself. 1917, of course, the great miracles, the apparitions of Our Lady to the three shepherd children. And what followed 2 years later, but a great, not so great, but a horrible pandemic, which killed God knows how many people worldwide. And history repeats itself. Here we are, 100 years later, we celebrate the Great Centennial of Fatima. And 2 years later, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with the effects of a pandemic and political upheaval all over and so many things that accompany that type of thing. Our Lady said that she gave us warnings and things that we could do to avoid the fate that I believe we are suffering today. Many things were done, many things were followed, and I think, we avoided some serious things, but now I think we're paying the price for many things that we did not follow. But this is all solvable through prayer. I mean, this is what our apostolate is about, to bring the message of Fatima, which is a message of hope. And at our website, bluearmy.com, there are many resources. on the message of Fatima and our Catholic faith in general. We have a beautiful documentary that was out several years ago, and we have a number of initiatives, and I'll be getting into that more and more today with my guest about what we're doing nationwide and worldwide, because this is the key, I think, to bringing harmony back into our world today, a world that has walked away from God. And the farther we get away from God, you're seeing, you know, this disruption that's out there. The closer we are to God, there is peace and there's serenity. The farther away we get, there's hatred and chaos. And look at the world. Turn on the news and you see what's happening. So we would like to put it in perspective. And I hope today we can discuss a little bit of that. And in general, what's going on in this world in this year of St. Joseph, this beautiful year proclaimed by the Holy Father, you know. We have many ways we accomplish our mission as an apostolate, multi-level. Our goal is to bring people to Fatima and to bring Fatima to the people. Well, right now with this pandemic, we're having a little difficulty bringing people to Fatima and to the other shrines and holy places of our faith worldwide. But we own and operate a hotel retreat center in Fatima, Portugal, which, of course, is suffering greatly right now, as you can imagine, with the borders closed and all of that. But we hope to be back and running. And we're an optimistic people because we know the message and the mission, the message of our Catholic faith and of the Fatima message, which is nothing more than a reiteration of that. It is a message of hope. And I think, you know, God's permissive will allows bad things to happen to good people, to all people, so that we learn and we understand and we know that wait a minute, we're not on the same track. You know, in 1917, during the apparitions, it was during World War I, and Our Lady said, this war will end soon, but if my requests are not heeded, a much greater war will happen. Well, World War II came about. She spoke about Russia, the errors of Russia, communism, the, you know, atheistic communism. This is this idea that God is not necessary. Certainly a few months after the apparitions, the Bolshevik Revolution came, and this government now that was for once and for all going to eliminate God and everything came into being. And she said, if my requests again are not heeded, Russia will spread her errors. Well, look where we're at now today. I mean, we saw it happen throughout. Look at all of Eastern Europe, a good portion or most of it gets swallowed up by the Soviets. Up and through until late 80s, early 90s, you saw what happened. And now, of course, throughout that time, Russia spread her errors other places. She spread it. China is probably the one that jumps up more than anybody's minds. Well, what about the United States? Here we are, a people that are so secular. We are living in this dictatorship of relativism, I think, which is part of that Pope Benedict spoke about. We have a secular mentality here. And that's why, you know, we haven't really looked properly at or taken on properly the things that Our Lady asked us to do. And it's so simple. And what she asked us to do is, you know, the Fatima message is nothing more than the message of the Gospels. And we're just at return to living in accord with the Gospels, and you will have peace. You will have this inner serenity. And I think you see, even in these times when things are disrupted and all, you see people of faith have an inner serenity. So I say, let's take it seriously, and we will overcome these things that are with us today, as we've overcome so many things over the years. But you know, it's up to us. If we get on our knees, or if we become like the king of Nineveh and put on a sackcloth and ashes, be penitential, but we do it with joy, and we say, God, we're sorry for our sins. Okay, we accept the punishments and the discomfort and the things that come our way as a result of this. Now make us better, and then you have a joy that comes back, and you see the rebuilding of things. You know, our apostolate, of course, has been around since 1947. Our shrine is located in Washington, New Jersey, where I am the executive director. I operate out of there particularly. And we sit on 150 acres in a mountainside, beautiful place in basically the foothills of the Poconos, 50 miles west of New York City, near the Pennsylvania border. And we have a beautiful outdoor shrine which seats 1,500 under the roof. And it has been a blessing in this last year, where we have been able to hold large gatherings, services, because there were no restrictions in outdoors, still the same, no major restrictions on outdoor gatherings. And so we've been had our masses and Our events, I mean, our events on the 13th of May through October, where we've had some very high-profile people coming out. Typically this May, in next month, we'll have Bishop James Checchio, who is the bishop of our diocese of Metuchen, New Jersey, where we're located, will be there to kick it off with us. Throughout the summer, His Eminence Cardinal Burke will be there on July 13th. Bishop Joseph Perry of the Archdiocese of Chicago, who is our Episcopal advisor and our dear friend, he will be there, I think, about July and August. We have another number of others that come out every year. And all of our events, our marathons, as we call them now, are available on our website and all our social media, BlueArmy.com. So join us no matter where you're at. Beautiful days, starting with a rosary procession at noon, a talk at 12:30, and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 1:15, followed by the enrollment in the Brown Scapular, the Eucharistic procession, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Beautiful day. If you're in the area, you join us. We'd love to have you. And, of course, join us virtually, because this is where we're at in this day and age. So today I want to bring on a member of our apostolate, a friend, someone who's been working with us for a number of years, Barb Ernster. She has 25 years experience in writing and public relations and marketing communications with ad agencies and a consulting background. And she's worked with many Catholic organizations and corporations, helping them cultivate relevant information to present their brand. Well, Barb has been with us now for, I think, 7 years, and she helped publish our beautiful magazine. She is the publisher, actually, of our editor of our magazine, Soul, which has been published since 1950, and carrying on the legacy very well. She handles communications for the apostolate. So, Barb, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Back here in the Midwest, where it's cold and gray.
I know. Well, I'm in New Jersey, it's cold and gray, and then I come back home. It is to Chicago here, and it's cold and gray. And of course, you're in Minnesota, which is always cold and gray, right?
Always
cold
and gray.
So. Yep. I always feel good.
There's other things going on here besides cold and gray, but
yeah,
so please pray for us here in Minneapolis.
Sadly, we watch the news. I try not to watch the news as much as I used to, because it's very depressing. But I do think, prayer moves mountains, and I think that we will. And I think all the more reason people need to look at what's going on in Minneapolis, here in Chicago, in New Jersey, everywhere we're at. What's happening in this world is a result of sin. It's a result of people not living, in accord with the rules of God. Let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. You and I know that. That's what we do for a living, and in our mission here as an apostolate. And that's it. That's what the Catholic faith is. It's what the Fatima message is all about. But again, as I said, the Fatima message is nothing more than the message of the faith. And I think, and here we are in this special year of St. Joseph, which I think we want to talk a little bit about, we know what we have to do. I think there's a need more and more today. And I think because, as I said earlier, the permissive will of God allows bad things to happen. And I think he does it very much and always for our good, so that we see what's going on, and we correct our ways.
Well, and, I always say the Fatima message, following on the heels of that, was the Divine Mercy message. Well, we just celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday.
Yes.
And what does Jesus tell us? If mankind, until he turns to his mercy, we will not know peace. And certainly we see that all over the world, in our families, in our nation, in our streets.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were looking at what we do going forward with the World Apostolate of Fatima, we thought about St. Joseph. Here's we're dealing with the time when Lucia predicted would happen, that the final battle of Satan against the kingdom of God would be against marriage and family. And so who better to turn to than St. Joseph? So back in November, we decided to declare a year of St. Joseph for the apostolate. And we were very happy to, a couple weeks later, when Pope Francis did it for the entire church.
I thought that was great. I was going to say he must have been reading our website, but we did. We discussed this early on about St. Joseph and the need, because there's so much conversation about St. Joseph and about his what we need so much is that image of the strong fatherly figure. Okay, mm-hmm. And St. Joseph, is just that. I mean, he is that fatherly figure. He is. Well, the father, let's put it that way, and temporal father, and how we look to him. And I think you couldn't ask for a better time when our roles as men and women and families, and as you refer to even, you know, Sister Lucia's give and take with Cardinal Caffara, that the last battle would be between marriage and the family, if I don't quote it exactly right. But it's exactly it. We're looking at a time when it's so disruptive. And you look at, I mean, I don't have statistics sitting in front of me, but I will bet you look at these people who are sitting many times in trouble, in jail, in lives of crime. What father figure was in their life? I don't know. I tend to think it was very limited, you know. And that's why St. Joseph is very special. You know, we're just very, very pleased to have a year again dedicated to him and the whole church. I mean, it's been beautiful every time. We start certain initiatives like, oh, now everybody's doing it. Well, you know, but you know what? It's wonderful. I don't think you could have enough of St. Joseph out there.
No, and it's an act of the Holy Spirit, really, to help the church. The Holy Spirit's guiding all initiatives and all apostolates, and
well, that's right.
Everybody seems to be going in a certain direction right now. And I have to say, the COVID shutdowns and everything that's happened, where it feels as if you're an island on your own all the time now. We're losing a sense of community.
Yes.
And that's what's going to bring us together, is being strong communities. And what helps make strong communities but strong families? So we really felt, for the sake of our apostolate and where we're going, where we need to be going, is to be helping to rebuild families. So, and we wanted an image of St. Joseph that was young and, you know, somebody who was a leader. And oftentimes we'll see pictures of St. Joseph and he looks like an old man. Well, I think it was Pope Angelico who said, old men don't walk to Egypt. And so it's good that I think this year St. Joseph, with all the new images of him coming out, including our icon that we had created. I mean, Joseph is young, he's a leader, he's strong, he's virulent, he's our man right now. And so that was what was one of the first things we did for our year, was to commission an icon of St. Joseph as he appeared during the miracle of the sun with the child Jesus in his arms, and the two of them were blessing the world.
Right.
And Mary was standing to the side.
Yeah.
That was the vision that the children had as the sun was starting to come down on the 70,000 people below. They were witnessing a peaceful scene of the Holy Family. And so that was the scene we tried to capture in this icon, which is visible on our website at bluearmy.com. It's how we are branding our Year of St. Joseph, and it's an icon that we sell in our gift shop as well. But that was what has really helped us to focus our year this year, was to bring St. Joseph and the Fatima message together. What was the purpose of that vision? Why was he there? It's important.
Yeah. Barb, I would take a quick break here, and when we come back, I'd like to focus on, you know, again, the whole thing about St. Joseph, the restoration of the families, and what our intent was in this year of St. Joseph as an apostle as we move forward. So when we come back, we'll follow up on that. I'm David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
We are the students of St. Stan's Akoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to eighth grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org. For St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Welcome back. David Carolla sitting in today for Father Anthony on AM 750 WNDZ. And I want to continue on with my guest, Barb Ernster. Barb, of course, is the communications director for our apostolate, the World Apostolate of Fatima. Welcome back, Barb.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. And, you know, as we left off before the break, you know, here we are, you know, focusing, you know, on turning to St. Joseph to help restore families. I mean, obviously, you know, the foundation of the building was broken and the buildings are tipping over. We have to fix the foundations before we can rebuild the the family foundation or family building, if you will. And we decided to combine our series on St. Joseph with our first Saturdays or the first Saturday series to encourage people to take up this great devotion. You want to follow up a little bit on what we've done now with these 3 months? We've started, I believe, in February. And maybe you could talk a little bit about what we've done and the speakers we've had and our conference coming up and all.
Yes, we started in January 2nd, actually, with our first Saturday of the month with Michael Wick was our speaker. He's from the Diocese of Gary. And he kind of laid out the groundwork on First Saturdays and why we make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. How do we bring St. Joseph into that? The second month in February, we had Father Donald Calloway, and he spoke wonderfully about the need to make reparation to the Immaculate Conception, which is the first of the blasphemies that you repair for when you do the First Saturday devotion. All of these talks are up on our website at bluearmy.com/year of St. Joseph. So even if you miss our First Saturday series, you can watch the videos on bluearmy.com/year of St. Joseph. In March, we had Dr. Mark Miravalli. Just this past Saturday, we had Devin Schott, who's a father himself and a co-founder of the Fathers of St. Joseph, a lay organization to help men live the spirituality of St. Joseph. And so what we do is we have the speaker come on at 11 a.m. You can watch it online, and then you can participate in our live stream devotion of First Saturday. So we have our rosary, and we have a 15-minute silent meditation, and then we have the Holy Mass and Divine Mercy Chaplet. If you're at the shrine, you can go to confession starting at 10 a.m., and we also have an enrollment in the Brown Scapular. So these are happening every First Saturday online at bluearmy.com/year of St. Joseph and at the shrine. And on May 1st, because it was not only a First Saturday, it's also the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, we are having a conference that day. And this is where we want to have men and women join us, because we have three really good speakers coming, and the title of the conference is Reclaiming the Family Through Fathers. We wanted to start with fathers because they are supposed to be the priests of the family. I think it was Devin Schott who I interviewed, and he said, up until the time when the Israelites fell away and started consorting with the pagans, each of the men were the priest in their family, and they led the family. Mm-hmm. After that, then, it was the Levites who had remained faithful who were given the priestly duties. But the fathers were intended to be the ones that spiritually and authoritatively led the family. And Dave, you were talking about statistics a little earlier.
Yeah.
The importance of fathers in the family. Now, I don't want to denigrate anybody who's going through brokenness or difficulties in their family, but fathers need to understand their important role. There's some statistics that if the mother is a regular attendee of services and practices her faith, but the father is only part-time, the children will grow up and only 3% of them will continue to be a regular attendee in their faith. 59% will be irregular attendees, and 38% will walk away completely.
Yeah.
And if the father is not at all attending, that number grows, 60% walk away completely.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when the father is involved, when both of them are attending, 33% of the children will grow up and continue to their practice of their faith, and the numbers drop significantly. But the father, when he's involved with the family, the children are less drawn to the secular culture, and they're less likely to get involved with alcohol and drug abuse and risky sexual behaviors and even imprisonment. There's a reason why God wanted us to be in families with a father and a mother involved, and it's very important that men understand their role and how important they are, not to be overburdened by the culture that's really kind of pushing them away.
Well, I think that's it, Barb. I know growing up in a family where my father was very much engaged, you know, we had a family rule until such time, unless we had jobs at a certain point and couldn't be there. We had to be home for dinner, okay? That happened when my father showed up. When he got home, we had dinner. And then we prayed a family rosary. And, of course, we've been involved with the promoters of the movie on Father Peyton, the movie Pray, as we've been discussing. And I love that motto. My mother had a little sign in the house, you know, the family that prays together stays together, you know. And I always, that stayed with me all my life, and that's really what it is. And you're right. It's because my father set the tone for these things. My mother set the tone. My father was the person that it revolved around. And I think that was important because it's easy, especially for a boy, to say, oh, my mom, you know, she's always praying a rosary. That's nice. But when you see your father doing it, it is a manly thing. I mean, I know I grew up in Chicago on the South Side, and there was a lot of early masses. I remember, of course, masses all the time. A lot more people attended mass, you know, when I was young. And I keep saying that was a long time ago now. But I would go every once in a while. My dad wanted a Sunday morning where just he and I went to mass. And we would get up and we would go to early mass, and then we'd go over to the local bar restaurant that his friends owned, and they would have coffee or whatever, you know. But it was a guy's morning out, and it was a great experience for me because to this day I remember that. You know, we'd go with my dad, we'd go to mass, then we'd go over there, and then we'd get home, you know. But I think it was that's probably one of the most formative things for me. I mean, I love my mother, very, very pious and good woman and all that. But it was seeing my dad do it, I think, that made me want to emulate what he was, how he was.
Well, and they say that when only the mother is practicing, the kids will see it as, oh, that's mom's thing.
Right.
And I think that's very true.
Right.
You have to remember, St. Joseph was the one who taught Jesus scripture, who led him to synagogue.
Right.
He was the one who led the family in prayer. He led the Son of God and the most perfect woman, the most perfect creature created, he led them in prayer.
Yes.
And so
he
didn't back down and say, well, you guys are better than I am. You do it better.
Well,
no,
he
stepped up to the plate and did it.
Well, we say St. Joseph, the man who God called father. You know, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty profound.
Right.
Truly did. He looked up to him in a temporal sense, you know. And that's and that is not in any way denigrating. I mean, you know, women and look, you know, all of us work together. You know, you do this beautiful job as communications director. You know, we're men and women who work together, but we have different gifts. And I know when I'm looking at certain things, even our apostolate and our work, and of course responsible for all of it, I kind of look at the different skill sets we have of different people, and women bring a certain perspective, men bring a certain perspective. That's our nature. This isn't one being better than the other. This is who we are, you know, and that's why there's the complementary nature of marriage and of interaction. I just think we have to always keep that in mind. I mean, I think and St. Joseph helps define that because, you know, he was, I mean, how many words of St. Joseph do you find in Scripture? Zero. I don't think, is there anything?
No, he named Jesus, so he must have said his name.
Okay,
Jesus.
Well, he must have said his name in the temple. That's about it. And did he select that name? I don't think so. Okay.
No, but, given to him.
Yeah, exactly. But when you think about it, I mean, talk about silent strength. You know, here was St. Joseph, and just with that, and that's why I love that image at Fatima, where he's there holding the child Jesus, arm blessing the world, okay, and Our Lady there next to him. And our icon, really, that people should look at, I think it was very well done, and that is, you know, it is of that same image. And he's basically saying to us in that, you know, I am the protector of the church, and I also am the protector of apostolates such as yours who will now promote things such as the Fatima message. Okay, so yes, he's there standing for us as our backbone, and he didn't have, there no words need to be said. He's silent strength.
And it almost seems as if Mary herself is bringing him forward to us in that image. She's kind of standing a little to the side and to the back and presenting him. And, you know, it's at a time when we are at a tipping point in our culture with marriage and family and the culture that we're now not in the House of Representatives. You are now not allowed to use gender pronouns.
I heard that.
You can't say father, parent. I mean, we are stripping away the everything that God ordained when he created man and woman in the garden. He gave them special roles. And, you know, woman was the one who was created last. And what is the term that they say? What is created last is the most important. So
yeah.
there's nothing more powerful about woman, but there's nothing less powerful either. There's,
yeah.
we have to have our complementarity. There's a reason why he created a male and a female. The two of them are the image of God.
Yeah.
The two of them together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Complementary nature. That's why God makes, you know, two to come together to one. It's not, I don't want to get into the whole thing about, you know, about gender, this whole thing with marriage of the same genders. I mean, that's, church has spoken on that. But there's a reason why God put a man and a woman together. Obviously, the procreation. But there's other gifts other than just the physical aspects of procreation. There's intuition on the part of women. There's practicality at least traditionally on the part of men. I mean, the two together then, you know, are a team. That's how it's supposed to be. You know,
right.
I will say this. I know many women, single women who have raised families have been forced to do so for many reasons. And God bless them. I mean, they do a good job. But I think the ones that are most successful know that they have to bring in that masculine influence to some degree to those children, too, because I think because it is missing many places.
And, right.
So, yes, I think. But St. Joseph, there's no one better than St. Joseph to stand there and be that model for men. You know, I know that many, many weddings I've attended and even participated in, where, you know, the woman traditionally brings the flowers to Our Lady, you know, and many of the men will bring a flower to St. Joseph. I don't know if, you know, I don't think we did that when Dorothy and I got married, but I just think it's very, you know, I always thought that was a beautiful thing because a man needs to acknowledge St. Joseph as the model for a husband, you know, just.
St. Joseph is father to all of us. He's a protector. We when we did the icon, we said father, protector, consoler. We call it the icon of the St. Joseph, the greatest consoler of the Immaculate Heart, because he stepped into that role to be at her service and to lead, but also to be loving authority, love by leading, love by service, serve by loving.
Yes.
So he protected her and all that was about her role, and then he protected the child Jesus. So.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And he was, and again, I love that game. It wasn't an old man that walked to Egypt. Okay, and I look at that. There was a cover of one of our Soul magazines recently. Was it the Christmas issue? You maybe correct me on that. Where it's Saint Joseph walking and Our Lady on the mule. And, you know, and that's it. You got this man who's, you know, you see the look on his face, who's determined, looking forward, walking, I assume, you know, leading, taking Our Lady somewhere. We could assume it maybe into Egypt or wherever he's going. But he's focused on the necessity of getting them there. Because even though he had, you know, the Christ child, God incarnate with him, which he knew that, and Mary of such great holiness, which he really had now come to understand, you know, he couldn't expect God just to make them bilocate different places and magically leave Bethlehem and magically appear in Egypt and magically return to, you know, Nazareth. It wasn't the way it is. And that's a lesson for us to understand that, you know, sure, God could do it that way. You know, our Lord could have, you know, as he did on Good Friday, he merited heaven for all of us, but he didn't hand it to us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He opened up a door for us, all right? And now, walk through and do what you have to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see in St. Joseph, you know, doing the physical part of what God allowed spiritually to happen. And there's no better person to look for that. Anyway, Barb, let's take another break here. And then when we come back, I'd like to follow up on some of this, a little more on St. Joseph and some of the things, particularly with the things regarding Russia and the family and all of that. Okay. So, this is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loy.
So now it's Miss 5'2", Eyes of Blue, kicking the butt of the 300-pound muscle man bad guy with a single glancing blow on practically every TV show and film today. Step aside, Superman and Captain Marvel. You can be replaced by a woman. After all, women have no value in themselves. They only have worth if they look like a man, dress like a man, kick butt like a man, accomplish things like a man, and make a greater salary than a man, and are everywhere a man is. Femininity has no power or dignity in and of itself, as it was in the very beginning, with the serpent and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Once again, womanhood is falling for a bad line, and manhood is doing nothing to protect her from that. So it was with the first man, Adam. This is all a conspiracy by the evil one to break down manhood and fatherhood, render it all inconsequential and emasculated. Ah, but this is just a means to an end. In God's order of creation and the life of the church, it is all about the woman, the bride. It was so for Jesus Christ himself. The evil one's ultimate prize is the woman, the bride, and manhood stands in the way of that. So manhood and fatherhood must be eliminated and neutralized. The fact is, the most powerful force in the order of creation is authentic femininity, the genius of womanhood. Men become men precisely by defending, protecting, and providing for womanhood. And women realize their true strength, dignity, and happiness by allowing and supporting men to make it all about the bride.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo here, sitting in for Father Anthony today on AM 750 WNDZ. And I'm speaking here today with Barb Ernster. Barb, that promo in between here was very appropriate, Father. I was talking about how the images of men and women have been, the women are now all the superheroes in the movies, and the men are just, I don't know, just secondary. You see that, I'm sure, right? As we do. And it reminds me of course, one of my, I guess, mentors, you want to call him, is the great, the late Father John Harden, and he always liked to say that the trouble today, you know, he died 20 years ago, of course, but he used to say the trouble today is that women want to be men and men want to be boys. And boy, that was, I always thought that was so appropriate, you know, and that's the thing. And it's unfortunate, you know, and I mean, I have never had an issue with women, you know, in positions of authority or positions of, you know, I mean, I'm in the engineering world and medicine, whatever, you know, but I mean, to me, it doesn't enhance. I mean, there's so many gifts that women have, especially when it comes to the family, that it's just, I think in nurturing and all that we have just, we've denigrated those things so much. And that's sad. I mean, you know, and you're a mother, you understand what I'm saying.
Well, and it puts a lot of pressure on us women, too. I mean, I chose to quit my job and stay home with my kids, and I was struggling for years as a consultant, and my colleagues would be so successful. But then I found out they all had people coming to their homes, and so they had nannies, and that's why they were able to devote so much of their time.
Sure.
But I just had to learn to, I made my choice, and I had to live with that. I accepted that. So I feel as if, you know, there's room for both sexes to work together in workplaces. I know that a lot of the women's rights movements came out of the fact that women weren't treated so well. My mother remembers these things herself, you know, and
sure,
she would always say to me, you know, make sure you can make a living, because what happened when divorce was brought in is a lot of women were left with nothing. They were, you know, that's what drove a lot of them into the workplace, because...
Well, sure. Oh, yeah.
Frankly, divorce was the start of a lot of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It started in Russia.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. When you look at it, the whole concept, one of the whole concept, but a great part of the concept of communism was this limiting of women, like, greatly necessarily in the workforce, okay? And that's fine. But again, that did lead to, you know, much smaller families and you know, contraception and abortion. I mean, and I don't know what it is today. I'm a little down on my stats, my right to life stats. We're active in the movement overall, but I don't keep up with it. But having started going to Russia myself back in the, you know, 15 years ago, I came to one stat that just shocked me, and it's something that 70%, at then they were saying, 70% of all pregnancies in Russia were aborted. Mm-hmm. 70%, 7 out of 10. Oh, my God. Think about that. I mean, and you know, you wonder why they've had such a time, you know, being re-Christianized. You know, we went through this time back. We were there as part of course, as, you know, for those who don't know our history, you know, we were, when our founders took very seriously Our Lady's talk about Russia, about the East. And of course, at our hotel retreat center in Fatima, Domus Pacis, we have this beautiful Byzantine chapel. Okay, we have the only Byzantine chapel in Fatima, and it is it actually has now become a parish. For we've allowed it to be a parish at the request of the Bishop of Fatima for the Ukrainian community, which is there's a lot of a large expatriate Ukrainian community there, members, and that's their Sunday parish. There are many weddings and things. Now, I haven't, because I've been restricted from going there, which is, of course, part of my responsibility, but because of the pandemic, I've been limited in my trips over to Portugal, to Europe in general, and I don't know if those numbers have dwindled because many of them were workers who came, and unfortunately, many of the places there have been, you know, cut back or closed down. But the idea was when our founder built that place, it was because of our outreach to the East, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Our Lady said, you know, Russia will be converted, and believe that we and our apostolate were to have a great part in that conversion. And mm-hmm. and I know we possessed, of course, the icon of Kazan, which many people know about. And, of course, we housed it in that chapel at Domus Pacis. And I was very fortunate to be part of the whole movement when, obviously, it was returned. And then we returned the Odessa statue. I was in Kazan for the dedication of the church in 2008. That was when they dedicated the new Catholic church, the Church of Exaltation of the Cross. And it was just our outreach there. I saw a society in my trips to Russia and wonderful people. Now, you're talking, again, a country where that has traditionally more oratories dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary than any country in the world, you know.
Right.
And yet, you know, look how it got twisted by communism, you know. Mm-hmm. And sad.
Yes, when communism came in after the Bolshevik Revolution, it was by design that they started dismantling the family.
Sure.
They couldn't get to the young people because the older people were having nothing of it, the state. So they introduced postcard divorce where you didn't even have to go to a judge and say, you know, go through, you just went to your wife and said, I'm divorcing you. And it threw thousands of kids and women out on the streets and they were homeless. And there's no such thing as a father having custody of kids over there.
That's right.
They introduced free abortion. Well, it was cheaper to abort your child than it was to try to raise a child in these, what became impoverished situations. And they were pushing the women and the men to get into the workforce and become cogs of the wheel of the state. It wasn't for the dignity of the woman or the man or the work. It was for the state.
Yes.
That you were now just enslaved and impoverished.
Exactly.
And so they drove the men and the women out of the home, and the state started slowly taking over the mindset of the children. Well, after 70 years of this, where they drove God out of it, yes, God was driven out. The church was persecuted almost into non-existence. But with Father Dan Maurer, who is over in Vladivostok right now with Father Myron Effing, they've been there for almost 30 years trying to rebuild the Catholic Church there. He said when they destroyed the family, it's really hard to get it back. They have no sense of what family is over there. And he said when you take God out of the culture, he says, I'd like to fly everybody over here and have them stand in the naked public square and see what it looks like. And we're going rapidly toward that here in this country.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, look at our education system, Barb. Quite frankly, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of education that has been totally de-Christianized. I mean, mm-hmm. and so is it any surprise now that we're moving and experience the same things? You know?
Right.
Yeah, we're, the same set of values has been put into our next generation. When I hear like some of these the statistics that say that, you know, maybe half or more of people, young people, really believe socialism is the way to go, or at least to experiment with. Do they have any idea?
And they don't understand the history. They don't even know what happened in Russia. They don't. No.
Because it's never been trained, never been taught to them, and that's the problem. And it hasn't been taught in the homes. It wasn't necessarily taught to us as much either, but it was by our families, okay? And the danger of all of this type of thing. And that's where I think we have, it was more stealth in this country.
It went under the radar. It was very much by design. But I will say that communism in the Soviet Union killed 40 million of its own people.
That's
40
right.
million people. The state executed
right.
many of them just because they kept their faith.
Yeah.
And so we all know that here we see the signs that say science is real. Well, nobody is arguing it's not, but God is the one who created science. It's not opposing science if you believe in God and believe that the creator of the universe is behind that science. Look at the design of the universe, and it's all math.
And Barb, look at the greatest scientists. I mean, really, traditionally in years, you know, many Catholics. Okay, I mean, so this is not something that the Catholic Church has disallowed or fought against. I went to Mendel High School here in Chicago. Gregor Mendel, isn't he the father of genetics? I mean, you know, he was an Augustinian. I mean, the church has never been against science, but you know, it parts company with it when it starts talking about evolution, not even evolution necessarily, but evolution to the point that we come from an ape or a snail or something like that. Well, you know, then I think we have to look seriously at that. God created species with certain dignity. I mean, we're not angels, all right, and we're not animals either. We believe we were created in His image and likeness, and that's pretty heavy duty when you think about it. And so the church has never denied the science. I mean, maybe there are people, we don't know the history of how somebody, you talk about Galileo and all of that, but I don't know. The church as general has never said that science wasn't accurate or valid. On the contrary. And some of the greatest scientists, I mean, and intellectual minds, Albert Einstein was extremely interested in the Catholic faith and faith in general, but never professed it. But he, there's a lot of give and take with him, where he saw the reality of it and the beauty in the faith and in religion. So, I don't think that. But I'm sorry, the world twists that nowadays. And
what science could do if it just personally, the scientists brought in their faith in God and allowed God to direct their efforts, because He's the creator of the universe, He would direct them in the right way. And I mean, it's submitting to God in many ways, and that's what Joseph did. I mean, it's all about surrendering ourselves and letting God direct us in all areas of life, whether it's science or our families or our work or anything. It's just surrendering to the God of the universe, who's going to lead us in the right way.
Sure, absolutely. And I know that, you know, of course, you talked about your interview with Father Dan Moyer, and I know we don't have probably time to really get into the details of it, but you do have an article in this issue of Soul Magazine coming up, correct? And as we do some other things on the Russia and the conditions in Russia today, correct?
Yes, our next issue, which is coming out May 13th, it's about to go to press. You can still get a subscription to it at bluearmy.com/soulmagazine. Otherwise, it will be posted online as well. But yes, the whole issue is on Russia and what's happened there, and what is happening with the Russian Orthodox Church, what's happening with the Catholic Church. Just the errors of Russia that have spread throughout the world. What are those errors, and how are we seeing them playing out in our culture today?
Yeah. I had the honor to have dinner with Archbishop Manini back in 2008 when I was in Kazan. He, of course, was the Papal Nuncio to Russia then. I'm not sure today. And talked about this whole thing of conversion of Russia, because that really throws people off when the fad. A lot of the Russians were offended by that. He said, look, we're trying to help bring the faith back to the Catholics, traditionally the Poles and the Belarusians and the people from Lithuania and other Western Ukraine that were Catholic that are living in Russia. And he said, yeah, that's noble. That's beautiful. He said, the church wants to work on a macro level, hopefully to reunite with Orthodoxy, and I believe it will happen eventually. But you know, that's their job, I guess. It's a little bit above my pay grade, so. But we hope for the best on that one. Barb, we're going to take another break here, And when I come back, let's wrap it up. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of our initiatives. We have a few more minutes at that point, and what we're doing as an apostolate and how people can get more information on us. So my name is David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back. David Carollo in today, sitting in for Father Anthony on AM 750 WNDZ, The Winds of Change. And Barbara Ernster is with me. Barbara, of course, is the Director of Communications for the World Apostolate of Fatima, works very closely. I say, Barb, I talk to you most every day, but we don't see each other often. We're in different states.
True.
But here we are. That's good. But it's wonderful to be on the radio together. And it just, you know, in this final segment, we just have a few minutes left. Let's discuss some of what we're doing as an apostolate, kind of to combat everything we've been talking about, you know, and our initiatives and our programs and things like that. I mean, obviously we have our Fatima Presents podcast. We have Soul Magazine. We touched on that a minute ago. You can talk a little more about it. Our speaker series, our Marathons and such, Father Hugh Gillespie series that's coming. And anyway, you know, maybe you can add a little bit to that.
Yeah, well, we've been forced to go online like everybody else, but I think that we've really kind of improved our ability to reach more people by online initiatives, and we've had to boost up our website to handle the traffic that's now coming on the 13th of the month, not just to the shrine, but also online to participate in our marathons. And we call them marathons now because on the 13th of the month, from May to October, we have a full day of rosary and mass and celebration speakers. It's a very beautiful day, very wonderful way to honor Our Lady on the 13th of the month during our Fatima season. We're going to continue our First Saturday series through the end of the year. On May 1st, we are having a conference for men and women. We touched on it a little bit earlier. You can receive a couple of conference perks if you actually register. And we have three speakers that day. Father David Guffey, he is the producer of the movie Pray, the movie that's out there, on Father Patrick Payton, who works with the Family Theater Productions in Hollywood, California. He's speaking on St. Joseph and the Longing for a Father and Culture today. The father has been really driven out of our media and entertainment, so he's talking about what is happening in Hollywood with media and entertainment and the issues of men. And then Devin Schott will be with us again. He's speaking on the seven principles of St. Joseph's spirituality for fathers, and Father Donald Calloway will talk on consecration to St. Joseph. So So that will be a wonderful day starting at 9:30 a.m., but you can register at reclaimingthefamily.com. So reclaimingthefamily.com. And you'll also get an opportunity to watch the movie Prey as part of your conference package.
Yeah.
And then as we move forward, as when we come up on in June, our first Saturday speaker is Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. And then July, we will have Chris Stefanik. He's with Real Catholic on EWTN. He's going to be speaking on the courage to confess. And then I just want to get in very quickly. From August to December, Father Hugh Gillespie with the Company of Mary from the St. Louis de Montfort Priests, he did a whole series for us on the devotion to the Immaculate Heart, which is the heart of the Fatima message.
That's beautiful.
And that's a five-month series that will be playing from August to December every first Saturday. And you'll learn deeply what Our Lady meant, what our Lord wanted when he wanted devotion to the Immaculate Heart established in the world.
Yeah, and I think that really goes right down to the core of what our apostolate mission is, to learn, live, obviously, and then spread the message of Fatima, because it is a message more relevant today than it was in 1917, because we are living in the Fatima time. We're living with the consequences of many things, but we're also living in the light of the Fatima message, okay? Many bad things have happened and are happening, but many good things are on the horizon, I believe, too. You know, I am a firm believer, Barb, and I say this everywhere I speak, we are looking at a time, you know, the bloody history of the last century is just what it is. You know, it doesn't require anything more than just looking at what's occurred. More people have been martyred for the faith in this time than in the previous 19 centuries of Christianity combined. But I always keep in mind that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. And in light of that, I believe that we are on the threshold of an explosion of grace like nothing we've ever seen before. Maybe paralleling, if anything, the 3rd century, the 4th century, when the faith was first legalized. And look how Christian society flourished through Europe and then beyond. And I think, I really believe that we are there for that. We are setting the table for that. And we need to be ready as Christian Catholic people to pick up, to be, you know, there was always that famous statement by the late Cardinal George, two of his actually, but the one I always love when he talked about, when he said, "I will most likely die in my bed, my successor in prison, and his successor as a martyr in the public square." But then he said, a part they don't talk about a lot, when he said in the fourth part of it, he says, "But his successor will help pick up the pieces of a broken society and rebuild it as the church has done for 2,000 years." And I think that's where we are. I think we have to be ready to do that. And, you know, we are that Easter people. You know, we are a people of, you know, once we've received the grace of the faith, of the sacraments, you know, like the people and the two on the road to Emmaus when they said, "Well, our hearts is not on fire," when he spoke. You know, we have in us, by virtue of obviously the Eucharist and by the sacraments in general, we have inside of us something that just can't change. Okay, I mean, we can change. We can decide not to live up to it. Certainly, you look at Judas and others, you know, who have apostated and left, but. But if we keep our eye on the prize, I mean, I am very convinced that we are going to see, or maybe we'll be gone, but in the not too distant future, we're going to see the fruits of what we're doing.
Right.
I have trouble believing anything but that. I really do.
Right. And the best thing we can do right now, I know we're facing many, many challenges, and there's a fierce spiritual battle going on, but the best thing we can do is get closer to Mary and her Immaculate Heart, which is our refuge,
exactly.
And to Jesus and the Eucharist, and become people of love and mercy.
Yeah.
Operating under the power of God. I mean, really, that's what's going to change this world, is our own actions and our own attitudes and how we address people in our daily lives,
yeah.
Become people of love and mercy.
And I think you're right. And I think we're already starting to see, we're back out a little bit. We had now a statue tour going on in Texas. I'm thrilled to see that's happening. You know, our situation with our trips in Portugal, they're difficult. But, you know, stay with us at BlueArmy.com, and we'll update you. And, you know, Our Lady of Fatima is our guide for this time. So thank you for being here today, allowing me to be in your home. Barb, thanks for being on with me, and God bless you.
what's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.